You've been listening to WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org. Have you any... What? What?
Turn on my...
Oh, your mic's on.
Oh, okay, okay. Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Truly. You just heard... Can I do two things at once? Yeah, I can.
Yeah, go.
You just heard... The Staple Singers covering Life During Wartime. You heard...
Momentum by Use No Hooks. 4 to 4 tries not to be Amy Dineo, memoir by Influenza Prod, and 4 Cent by Monoculture.
Thank you so much for listening. I love WFMU. I love you. I love you so much.
Die will schon wieder mit mir tanzen und dabei kann sie mit Mühe und Not doch gerade bloß. Mistraum, ich soll schon wieder mit dir schwofen. Bin ich ein Doofe, dass ich mich immer opfern muss? Na, na, frag, nur kann Boogie. Nur kann Boogie, Boogie, please. Ich hab schon Blase, große Blase an meine Fies. Ah, nur kann Boogie, Boogie nicht. Mein Großzeh möchte sich erholen von deinem Gewicht. Bitte. Ich möchte doch noch ein bisschen leben und einen heben, die hinten rum wie ein auer Hahn. Bitte, warum tust du mich so bestrafen? Zum Tanzen schlafen, ich hab dir doch wirklich nichts getan. Na, 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 frag, nur kein Boogie. Nur kein Boogie, Boogie, please. Ich hab schon Blasen, große Blasen an meinem Fies. Ah, na, 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 nur kein Boogie. Nur kein Boogie, Boogie nicht. Mein Großzeh möchte sich erholen von deinem Gewicht. Au! 13 Euro. Suicidal.
we played a lot of that song today. Is my mic on? Oh, maybe I'm not. Oh, now I'm hearing myself because I lowered my own sound because it was too loud.
You lowered your headphones too much?
Nope, all good. I lowered my own, you know, own voice. Totally fine. Well, you hear that song, you recognize it the past 4 weeks now. 3 weeks? Four? Three in a row?
Three.
I think it's been, yeah, three. But this is another episode of Between the Lines, a.k.a. The Font Show, the haven for disgruntled typographers everywhere. This is going to be our second to last show for the summer schedule. We're sad, but we're excited for new things, new fill-ins potentially. We'll see. I am really excited because today I have a guest.
Hello.
Hello. Is your mic on?
Now it is.
Oh, is it on now?
Hello.
I'm not hearing him.
He's on.
Oh, okay. I think I'm just not, maybe I'm totally blown out my own eardrums. But my guest today that I'm introducing is named Ben Cohen, and he is a tattoo artist. You can follow him on his Instagram handle at 5starfuneral.
That's right.
Five with a five, the number five. Yeah, and if you haven't guessed by me introducing him as a tattoo artist, we are going to be talking about typography and tattoos. So if you have tattoos, if you have always wanted a tattoo, if you are a graphic designer and you want that perfect Helvetica A tattooed on your arm, maybe... Ben probably is not. He's not taking any calls.
That's not for
me. It's not for him. Yeah. But I really was excited to do a show about tattoos. We've done a lot of shows about different typography in different realms, you know, music and AI and, you know, all those types of things. And I love tattoos. Full disclosure, I don't have any tattoos, but I like looking at them. I like them as an art form. And you know, if you have ever worked as a graphic designer, you are very familiar with hand lettering and what it takes to do that type of work on the body and on the skin. So Ben, before I start asking you a bunch of questions, and we will take calls today, so you can ask Ben questions as well. I like to always give like a little bit of a history lesson on the topic of what we're talking about. So I'm going to give like a really short history of tattoos. And please, please chime in, dive in.
No, this will be good for me. As
oh, okay, okay, cool, cool. I think that's the cool thing about like tattoos. You're like, I just do it, man. I'm
I
so cool. Yeah.
I don't know anything.
And I'm like a very nerdy, like, let's open up a book. So I did a little Googling. And I mean, I always knew tattoos were old, but I didn't know that they were so old that like Egyptian mummies have tattoos.
Yeah, they're crazy old.
That's so insane. I had no idea. Like I didn't realize. And then the way that they were, that, you know, the tattoos were being made, that it was like a wooden mallet with like a needle on the wood.
Yeah.
And then like hammered into the person.
Yeah. And needles would be made from anything from fish bones to
oh, there
seashells.
It is. Now I hear him.
You hear me?
Yeah.
Sure.
You could pull like right from the top.
Is that better?
Yeah. Oh, that's better. Yeah, that's
better.
Much better.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, you were talking about the needles.
Right. Yeah. They were made from all different materials, just things that would be found in the natural environment of the different tribes that would be tattooing.
Yeah. And like teeth,
mm-hmm.
I saw in red. And
yeah,
like,
boar's
yeah.
teeth.
That's so cool.
Yeah,
and like,
I was reading about one tribe. I think it was a Polynesian tribe that would use the wing bones of a native flying fox.
Oh, wow.
Really crazy.
That's so crazy. Yeah. I wonder if anyone today is like still, if call in, if you're doing tattoos with like bones of foxes, please call in. I definitely want to know more about that. But I thought that was really cool. And then, you know, I think the other stuff that, you know, in terms of history, everyone kind of thought about tattoos and like sailors getting tattoos.
Right.
We were talking a little bit about American traditional tattoos,
right.
And
Sailor Jerry,
Ed Hardy,
right.
And all of that world. But I also didn't realize that the reason these sailors were, you know, known for their tattoos is because they were traveling to these, you know, indigenous lands or lands that weren't places that, you know, Westerners were going and having tattoos. So they'd go to the Caribbean and Tahiti and Haiti, and then they'd like travel back to Europe and they'd have all these cool tattoos. And then it started getting really popular with like royals.
Yeah, the aristocrats.
Yeah, which is so crazy. Like you look back at these old portraits of, you know, King George and all of them, and you don't think that like, oh, if they rolled up their sleeve, they have like this massive dragon tattoo. But yeah, they did. They pretty were like cool. So excited that they're like, I went to Japan and got this awesome tattoo, and it meant that you were like well traveled and you went somewhere. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's kind of coming back around in a way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like a stamp of where you've gone on your body?
Yeah, I meet a lot of people who love when they travel to get a tattoo.
Yeah.
As kind of a souvenir.
I love that too. Yeah. And also you get such an array of artistry from all these different places. That's I think that's really cool. Tattoo tourism. Is that, I'm sure that's what it's called, right?
Yeah.
I didn't make that up, I don't think.
That's probably
I'm sure it's in like a New York Times article or something. So anyway, fast forward to like today in the 2000s, you already mentioned like Ed Hardy and kind of that California tattooing mindset. And I think we also talked about, or no, we didn't talk about this. I'm just skipping all ahead. You know, just in the 50s and 60s, kind of tattooing became the symbol of counterculture, which it still is today.
Right.
I remember like me growing up and, you know, if I don't have any tattoos, but I also feel like maybe that's part of my upbringing where my dad would kill me if I had a tattoo. Maybe if they die, I'll just... But I also can't decide like what tattoo I would get. So I think that's why I've waited for so long. I think it's the designer in me that has that like super, you know, controlling mindset.
Yeah.
I mean, is so hard.
I definitely, when I first started getting tattoos, having a background in graphic design, I was trying to sort of map out where on my body I was going to get what, and I had it all kind of figured out.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is going to go here, that's going to go there. But then as soon as I started actually getting tattoos, that all disappeared.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's silly.
And let's dive into that, because that's something that was like kind of one of my first questions I want to ask you, which was, you know, as a graphic, because you started out as a graphic designer.
Right.
So as a graphic designer, you were like, wanting to map out tattoos, but how did you let go and like really trust the artist to do their best work?
Yeah, well, it definitely wasn't an immediate process. The first tattoo that I got, it was silly
and stupid.
It wasn't messed up, but you know, it was something.
Which one is it?
It's not visible. Yeah. I'm not gonna take
probably
my pants
smart.
Off
nope, don't do that.
Was it a unicorn?
No, it was an anthropomorphized chicken.
Okay.
Giving a thumbs up, which
I like that.
It's a logo from a chicken restaurant in Ecuador.
Okay.
Because I was on a trip to Ecuador with a friend of mine.
Tattoo tourism.
Right.
There you go.
But this was my first tattoo, and we were staying above a tattoo shop, and we thought, oh
that's so smart.
Get tattoos.
I like
to
that.
Commemorate the trip.
That's
but
fun.
We couldn't think of what to get. And we just saw
you got to get the logo of the chicken.
Logo of a restaurant. Yeah.
It sounds great. Did you go in knowing, like, did you design it yourself and bring it to the artist?
Yeah, I mean, we literally just took a photo of it and showed it to her. And she was like,
sure.
Like, it's the equivalent of, like, getting the KFC logo.
Yeah.
Like, I think she was a bit confused.
You're like, why do you want this chicken logo?
Yeah, and with the language barrier, she was like, are you sure this is like?
Yeah, yeah.
And we're like, yeah. We both want this.
And it turned out.
I mean, it looks great. She did,
an
amazing
job,
but it's a stupid tattoo.
I think you need to break the ice, break the skin on that first one, and it should be stupid.
That's what I always tell people,
you know?
Because
like,
I think...
don't worry about it.
So many people put so much thought into their first tattoo, and they really want it to be something super meaningful and something that is specific to them. And I think... oftentimes people overthink it.
Yeah. And I think that's the hardest part with graphic designers specifically is that we are born to overthink things.
Absolutely.
And that's our whole job. Like
absolutely.
Move this one pixel, move it back, move it again, move it back. So
yeah, I have
you know,
that sometimes when I tattoo graphic designers.
I'm sure.
They're hyper specific about where they want the stencil to be placed. And
yeah.
They'll have to place it.
I know
like
a couple
times.
Of those. I'm hoping someone that I know who might be listening will call in and describe how they busted out their ruler with their tattoo artist to make sure the kerning was absolutely correct. And I was like, I'm not surprised. But at the same time, like, if I was tattooing lettering, I would want it to, you know, be perfect.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, I was looking at just different tattoo styles with fonts and lettering. And script is so popular. And I think that's because it flows so nicely on the body.
For sure.
You really can, like, let the tattoo artist be more free, or like a graffiti style or something that is
definitely
more like unique and hand-drawn rather than like, I want this courier font on my body.
Yeah. That was definitely a learning process for me because originally, as I was saying, when I was doing more graphic design and I decided I wanted to start getting tattoos, the tattoos I wanted to get were all very angular. They were geometric.
Like
and
Bauhaus-y.
Hard lines. Exactly.
Yeah.
That was the type of design I was into at the time. Swiss tradition.
Of course, aren't we all?
Right.
Born of that tradition.
Right. But as I started tattooing more, I kind of reconnected with drawing on paper.
Yeah.
And I reconnected with this more organic process of creating art. And I think over time, by creating in that style and tattooing on skin, I was able to separate more from that rigid
hard
mindset.
Like computer mindset.
Yeah.
You and can it, like be more, you know, authentic to your
exactly.
own, you know, artistic nature, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. And I realized that I think those things tend to look better on the body.
On skin. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. I think sometimes you get these like very boxy pieces, which look nice too in their own light. But I tend to like the more organic and hand-drawn and something that really lets the tattoo artists express themselves.
Yeah.
But that's really hard to let go from yourself, to give someone a piece of you that is a little bit owned by the artist, you know?
100%.
Yeah.
And I think that is something that people get more comfortable with
as they get more tattoos. The first one is like the worst.
The first one, it's kind of just breaking the seal.
Yeah.
And that's why I tell people, get something
small and
silly,
dumb. Like a chicken.
Yeah, like an anthropomorphized chicken that's the logo of a restaurant.
Exactly, yeah. I think so. Well, it's interesting what you were saying. So I think I want to talk a little bit about your style because it's very unique. Well, it's unique to you, but I've seen a lot of it. It's very popular right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if our audience is as familiar unless you're walking around Brooklyn, because
right.
there's definitely a lot of these tattoos. But
yeah.
it's... You talk about drawing on like a lined piece of paper, or, you know, sketch paper, and your work is so sketchy in that way. And
yeah.
it's really cool. Like the line work is kind of like wobbly on purpose.
Yes.
Is that what you would describe it? I don't want to offend. But
That's absolutely the case. And I think for me, that started because in the beginning, when I was first tattooing, I was so – because I'm self-taught.
Yeah.
I didn't do an apprenticeship. So – I didn't go through the process of tattooing a million straight lines on.
Yeah. Is
fake,
that the typical
skin.
Process is like tattooing?
Yeah. I mean, in a typical traditional apprenticeship, they won't let you even hold a tattoo machine for, you know, up to 2 years in
really?
Some cases. Yeah.
Wow.
So you're just
drawing straight lines on paper?
You're just drawing first, and then you'll sort of graduate into tattooing fake skin.
Okay.
Into
or like oranges or something.
Right. That was my first experiment with a tattoo
on
machine.
An orange.
Was on an orange. And then I moved to honeydew. And then I abandoned that
then
very
you're
quickly.
Like, done.
And I was like, I'm going to tattoo my legs.
Yeah. It's always the legs, right? Mm-hmm. It's right there. It's the pen and paper.
100%.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was saying
that you're self-taught.
I'm self-taught. And in the beginning, when I was drawing designs to be tattooed, I was nervous that I wasn't going to be able to pull straight lines.
Oh.
So I intentionally started drawing
wavy
with these sort of wobbly lines
yeah.
that would be more forgiving.
Interesting.
If
Do you
I
think
didn't
a lot of
skill.
Tattoo artists are doing that? Like, it's become such a popular style. And, you know, full disclosure to the audience, I'm a huge Ink Master fan.
Mm-hmm.
But that style, it's, you know, it's tons of color. They always call it like a, I want it to look like a sticker.
Right.
And it's really poppy. It's really beautiful and sharp, but it's expensive and time consuming.
Super
and so
time
I wonder
consuming.
If like the trend of having like really quick, almost flash tattoos or things that just feel a little bit more ephemeral and loose is like becoming popular because that's just where society is right now.
Yeah, I think that the style that is popular on Ink Master that we were seeing, you know, maybe 10, 15 years ago, yeah, was focused on like technical precision. It was like, how realistically can I replicate this image? Mm-hmm. And it was all about photorealism and, you know, these super bright, vibrant colors and being able to just do things that someone would look at and say, wow,
that's
amazing. That's so impressive. But I think now people have a desire for something that's a little more expressive.
Yeah.
Maybe
more personal.
More
And also kind of, it's just like quirky a little bit. It's
more
like
unique.
Yeah. Like I've seen so many tattoos and I'm like, that's such a crazy thing to tattoo.
Yeah.
It looks like a doodle in a notebook, but I love that. Like, I love that it's a completely different look and feel than like what you would normally think of as a tattoo in the past years. You know, it's this new style.
Yeah. Yeah. And then that was popular for maybe another 10 years. And I feel like now,
are people going back? Missed the trend.
People aren't going back. And that style that we were talking about, the realism and all of that, has still been popular.
Of course, right? Everyone always wants a picture of their child, like on their
or like a lion and a clock.
Of course, always.
But I think now there's sort of a new trend happening where you said something about tattoos that are just surprising and kind of crazy. So I think now there's a trend where people are getting things that make people think, why would somebody get that tattoo?
Like, who has it's maybe like the dumbest idea.
The dumbest possible idea.
Yeah. Like, I think that is like the new, you know, counterculture.
Like, there's
you think
one...
I'm dumb? I can be dumber, you know,
exactly.
A little bit. It's a little bit of a show off.
Exactly. There's one tattoo that comes to mind by the artist Tanner Clark. And it's the Fortnite video game logo just across this guy's forehead.
Oh no.
And those types of tattoos.
Yeah.
Not that exactly, but just shocking tattoos.
Well, that has been actually a thing about people getting brands tattooed on them and brands actually paying for people to tattoo like their head and, you know, like get the Heinz ketchup logo on your head and you get free Heinz for life. Like, great. Fantastic.
Cool.
I'm so excited.
Enjoy your ketchup.
Yeah. And I think that's interesting of like tattoos being a brand and you literally selling out to a brand, you know, good for you, I guess.
Yeah.
Not like for me, but
when people get their car vinyled.
Yes.
The brand.
Yeah. But at least that pays for the car.
Yeah.
But I guess maybe if you really love ketchup or Oreos or whatever you're getting for free.
Right.
Well, to bring this back a little bit to typography, can you talk a little bit about your experience tattooing lettering? And I know you don't tattoo lettering all the time, but can you talk a little bit more about, you know, how you approach it, you know, what your biggest concern is when tattooing lettering?
Definitely. So my approach to lettering in tattooing sort of follows our previous conversation, specifically in regards to like the style of the lines and the style of the text.
I pulled up some examples for Ben.
Thank you.
Well, because I pulled up in doing my research for this.
Right.
I really enjoyed, you know, if you look at Ben's Instagram at Five Star Funeral. Plug.
Nice.
you draw these like really beautiful images or these like kind of funky, we're saying like doodly images, and then you've got this kind of like hand-drawn again, it looks a little like school lettering and school cursive, which I really love, as kind of texture in the background or texture as part of the image.
So I think for me with text, I've found that this is where my background in graphic design kind of crosses over with what I'm doing in tattooing, because I'm always drawn to text. I always want to include text. Anytime I draw something, I'm like, it's not finished. Until
it needs
text.
A little text. Okay, yeah, that's the the psychotic graphic designer in
for
you.
For sure. But
it needs a caption.
Exactly. But as I started tattooing and I was developing that sort of wobbly line style, so to speak, I found that I really enjoyed creating sort of custom text in that way. And I found different sort of text styles that I like to do. And, you know, I always had trouble thinking of like what words I wanted, because I find that with text, you know, obviously words have meaning.
They matter. Right? Yeah.
And especially, you know, people who are, let's say, early on in their tattoo journey, and don't have so many tattoos, you know, people get super fixated on like, what does this mean? What does it say?
What's the quote? Where's it from?
Yeah, exactly. So I started trying to think of words that were so often tattooed that like they blessed. Almost, right, that they almost become kind of meaningless.
Yeah.
To the point that it's more of just an aesthetic element. And another way that I do that is I find that most of the text that I like to draw is pretty hard to read.
Yeah. So it becomes kind of part of the background or part of the, it becomes more an image in itself rather than like the actual text.
It's, exactly.
It's a texture. It's a layer. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's cool. So do you still do graphic design, or are you just on, do you just do tattooing?
Yeah, I just finished a design project commission. The first one I'd done in a while.
And how, like, did you like getting back in the Adobe suite?
there were some aspects of it that I enjoyed, but on the whole,
you're like, get me back to the skin.
Yeah, I just remembered how exhausting working with clients can be.
Awful.
Which, of course, is the case in tattooing as well.
Yeah.
But,
and kind of, it's so permanent.
Right. But I find with tattooing, I have a lot more creative freedom being, you know, essentially an independent tattoo artist. So I'm just drawing what I want to draw.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, hey, if you like this.
Do you like this or no?
I'll come, you know, tattoo it on you.
Yeah, exactly. So then going back to the graphic design, did you feel like your tattoo work was informing the graphic design and you were a little looser now?
Yeah, 100%. So when I was working as a graphic designer, I was an in-house designer for one company for 1 year and then another company for another year. And I found that I was feeling like really constricted, because
like we all do
when you're working in-house, you're just kind of doing the same things over and over and over and over again. And tattooing really allowed me to like break outside of that a bit and just, you know, make the images that I wanted to make. And the funny thing is that I got into graphic design wanting to work on, you know, a specific type of design projects, mostly.
Yeah, like the good ones.
The good ones. I wanted to do stuff for musicians and other creatives. And
posters. Album covers and like all the stuff that you think that you're going to do.
Exactly. The stuff.
And then you're like, why am I doing 900 banner ads?
Exactly.
For a horrible pharma company.
Exactly. So by tattooing and really just working in the way that I wanted to work and sort of defining my own personal style, now I've had people approaching me to do design for the types of projects that I always wanted to do.
That's so great.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. So that's been really, really cool. And yeah, it just took doing something else.
Yeah.
To get to that point, because when you're doing design and you're not making stuff that you're super happy about, you know, nothing in your portfolio is going to speak to the people that you actually want to work for, right?
Yeah, and you want your portfolio to always be the work you want to get, not the work you've done. And I think that doing something like, you know, starting another business, you know, it'll always come. I think when you have that groundwork of graphic design, the great thing about design is that it infiltrates everything, you know, as you can probably know from listening to the show, like there's literally graphic design in every piece of the world around us.
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere. it's everywhere. The words are attacking me. But I think that is, I never regret having a graphic design background, because I can use it for literally anything.
Yeah.
You know, make your own website, make whatever, you know, and
totally.
It is very, very helpful. So I'm going to give out the phone number and we can take some calls. And our phone number is 201-209-9368. If you want to talk to me and Ben Cohen, our guest today from Five Star Funeral, talk to him about, you know, any questions on tattoos. If you're thinking about getting a tattoo, maybe Ben can give you some advice, how to leave your artists alone and not be so annoying. You know, we've got a lot of graphic designers in our audience. So our phone number is 201-209-9368. I see you nodding, David. Do you have a question?
It occurred to me that when Ben said that the whole apprentice process, to me that harkened back to, you know, in the early days of graphic design. Like I'm imagining, you know, in the 1800s that if someone wanted to get into that industry, that they'd have to go to a local printer or a local, you know, printing press and go through that 2 year or however many year process. And to me it was interesting, since tattoo is in modern times a much more modern medium, that still holds.
Yeah, absolutely. Tattooing is something that I think a lot of people traditionally have thought of as almost more of a trade than an art form.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously it's a combination of both. But the way that people have trained historically to tattoo is very much, you know, follows in the lineage of a trade.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, you know, and it is extremely technical, and there are so many little techniques and things that go into tattooing. So it makes sense to do an apprenticeship. It makes sense that you would have somebody to sort of show you the ropes.
Yeah, and especially because you don't want to mess up someone's skin, and you don't want people to walk away and be very unhappy. It's not like a bad haircut. It's, you know, it's forever. It's forever, yeah. Right.
We do have a call.
All right. Hello, you're on the air.
It is extremely technical. Hello?
Hello. Yes, welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi. I have a question which doesn't really represent my point of view totally, but it's a layer.
Uh-oh, devil's advocate over here.
There's an essay called Ornament and Crime, which is mostly from the early 20th century, about architecture, but they reference non-Western tattooing in it.
Okay.
Do you know that, Ben? Basically, it's a critique of it's a modernist architectural critique of Art Nouveau, and it invokes this idea of running room, which is just basically creative space. And the essay goes on to cite.
Is this kind of like the birth of modernism?
Analogous to Art Nouveau.
A little
whether
bit.
It just kind of covers up everything. Like you said, that typography is everywhere.
Yes.
It was the same criticism about Art Nouveau, that it took away running room, just this creative mental space.
Did you call in last week about Art Nouveau also? Someone else was also talking about Art Nouveau.
Yeah, I did.
You did. I knew it.
The Nouveau guy.
You're the Nouveau guy.
I don't like Art Nouveau. It seems
like you don't like Art Nouveau, but I really like Art Nouveau because I think it's okay to have ornamentation. I think it's okay to have. I've always been a little bit of a maximalist, and that was always to me the hardest part about learning graphic design is that it does have that strong connection to modernism and that Swiss design that we were talking about, which
Bauhaus.
Is Bauhaus. It's so simplified. It is beautiful. I came to love that stuff, but I think my heart really lies in the chaos of it all, which is why I really enjoy your work, Ben.
Thank you.
The thing that the person who wrote the essay's name is Adolf Loos.
Mm-hmm.
He was an architect. And the thing that he says about Art Nouveau is that it, because everything is decorated with in some way, that it makes there's no difference between a chamber pot and a pot you cook in.
Unless it's like a really ugly pot, I'd rather use the nice pot, personally.
Well, the thing is, it's just kind of concept-wise, it blurs function.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you for calling. I am so interested in this hatred of Art Nouveau every week. I think that's, I hope next week we can also tie in Art Nouveau. But yeah, have you ever done an Art Nouveau tattoo?
Definitely Art Nouveau inspired. Yeah. I mean, I do sort of have something to say about essay, but I think that the person who wrote this would feel the same way about tattoos as he does about Art Nouveau and the architecture of the time. And now I think we are reverting back from the era of Bauhaus and Swiss design and minimalism.
Definitely.
Into an era of maximalism and hyper ornamentation everywhere you look.
I love that.
I do too, obviously.
Yeah.
And I think people have gotten a bit bored. Maybe
it's become become completely corporatized, like everything. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it starts out where, and I again thinking of graphic design. Oh wow, all of this design in like the 80s and 90s, it's too busy, and that's where you get this like simplification in like the 2000s, 2010s,
right?
Where it's like, we don't want a drop shadow anymore, we don't want a gradient anymore, we want
and
flat
they,
design.
They took all the character out of all the logos.
Yes, exactly. And now you have companies doing that now, and it's like you've missed it. Now we're going back to character.
Right.
You know, we want it to look like drippy Burger King, like that looks great, you know. And, we're sad about Cracker Barrel, apparently. I don't really care about Cracker Barrel. Please don't call in and tell me about Cracker Barrel. But I like that we're swinging the pendulum back to chaos, back to maximalism. And I think that is, again, a testament to what I'm seeing trending in tattoos, where 100%. There is a lot of humor, you know?
Yeah. And there's a new thing. Well, new to me, and I think new to most people, in tattooing, where layering has become very popular,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, people will get so many tattoos over their lifetime that they're just putting new tattoos on
top of
the old
ones. It's like a collage. Yeah.
And it's super maximalist. It looks crazy, but I personally love the way it looks.
I haven't seen that. I have seen when I was doing research for, like, I was trying to identify different specific like tattoo fonts, or you know, the classic, like the black letter and the cursive and the graffiti type, and came across, I mean, I've seen this on Ink Master, so again, love Ink Master. That like trash polka style, which is like kind of silly. Have you seen that?
I don't know.
It's like red and black, but it's supposed to be like a collage. I think it's maybe originated in like Eastern Europe.
Okay.
But I feel like that is something that a lot of people are getting purposefully done, where it's like lots of layers and lots of collage pieces.
Exactly.
It's got a kind of Dadaist aesthetic, which is cool.
Totally.
And then there's like dots on it, which maybe that's where the polka comes from. I don't really know. But the phone number is 201-209-9368.
And we have a call.
Great. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, you're talking about like funny tattoos.
We're talking about tattoos and typography, how they relate or not. Do you have a question?
No. I was just calling in to say that I got, you know, like there's no meaning behind it. It was just a silly idea.
We tattoo. Love that.
What's the idea?
I have tattoo from Fantasy Island saying deplane.
Oh.
On my right leg. And then on my left leg is the plane.
That's cool.
Are you familiar with Fantasy Island, Ben?
I'm not.
So Fantasy Island, I knew when your eyes didn't light up. So yeah, Fantasy Island is this like old television show
1970s.
From
the
70s. Yeah, not to say old.
Montalban,
yeah, 70s show. And there was, who's the actor that was in it? What's his
Ricardo
name?
Ricardo Montalban.
It's okay, yeah. And
but it was Hervé Villechaize who said, de plane.
Yeah. Yes, and it's like a famous line from the TV show. Was it? I've actually never seen Fantasy Island, but I know that I'm familiar with the...
You're not missing.
But it's funny because it's on the back of my calves, and...
Wait, you have like, this tattoo, or you're thinking of getting this tattoo?
No, I did it like, you know, a year and a half ago.
And what font did you do de plane in?
I just Googled Fantasy Island, and it came up. And it's, like, very big, like, block letters.
Now I want to Google Fantasy Island, de plane.
But, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, like, nice. When I first started off, it was, you know, tattoos had meaning. Like, it had to have this, it had that. And it, now at, you know, over 50 years old, it's just...
Now it's just for fun.
Get it for comical reasons.
And that's fine. You're in the pop, the majority of people right now.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for your call.
I'll have to watch
that. David is not a fan of this tattoo.
No, I haven't seen it. I can't make a judgment.
But you will.
I'm just surprised.
Well, the phone number is 201-209-9368. Please call in and, you know, tell us about a tattoo you're thinking about getting, a tattoo that you already have. Do you think tattoo artists are typographers? You know, do you feel like they are graphic designers in a way, or illustrators in a way? Or, as Ben was saying, it's more of a trade. Do what I say, not, you know. What do you think, Ben?
I think those lines are being blurred more than ever before. I think that as the apprenticeship system has become less popular and less necessary, and there are more people who are just learning how to tattoo on their own and being independent tattooers, especially, you know, there was an explosion of that during the pandemic.
Yeah, everyone was tattooing themselves.
Locked up at home.
Tattooing themselves, giving themselves haircuts.
Amazon tattoo machine.
Yes.
Now there are so many people approaching tattooing from so many different perspectives that now I think it's really hard to say.
Yeah, it's a wide range. How long have you been tattooing for? I don't know if I asked that.
I've been tattooing for 5 years.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Nice.
Right, so at the start of the pandemic.
We do have another call. It might be our second guest, Jonah.
Oh, let's see. I don't know.
Let's see.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, how are you? Who is this?
Good, my name's Jonah.
Hi,
what's
Jonah?
Up, Jonah?
Hi, how's it going?
Thank you so much for calling in. I know Ben is a friend and a fan, I believe.
Oh, amazing.
Do you want to introduce yourself a little, Jonah?
Yeah, sorry. I am Jonah. I'm a tattoo artist. I'm living in Brooklyn right now, and I'm from upstate New York. I've been a tattooer for about 9 years, give or take, now.
Oh, wow. Nice, nice. And what can you describe your style of tattooing a little bit for the audience?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's a bit hard to describe, I would say. It's like, it's just sort of my art. It's sort of hard to put into a genre. I guess it's a little bit traditional tattooing. It's a little like...
It's illustrative.
Illustrative, kind of funky, like wobbly stuff. Yeah, hard to say. Just sort of my own little world that I've made up.
And you two know each other, Ben and Jonah?
I don't. Do we? I'm not
Ben
sure.
Says he does know you.
It's me, Ben Cohen.
Oh, Ben Cohen. What? Oh, I do know Ben.
What's up, dude?
Oh, my God. What's Ben doing here? Yeah, I know Ben.
I'm on the air, baby.
So am I.
I love that. That's fun. Very, yeah. David assembled this group, this tattoo group.
Quick,
I had no clue Ben would be here.
Quick shout out to my daughter who helped put this all together.
So did your daughter, she has a tattoo from Ben and Jonah or just Ben?
I don't know. I know Ben. Jonah, did you tattoo Sarah? Jonah?
Did we lose Jonah?
No, nope, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Did you tattoo Sarah?
I'm sorry. I can't, if someone's saying something, I can't hear it too well.
Oh, we can't hear you. Wait, can you hear me now?
I can hear you. I just can't hear the
other. Oh, you can't. Okay, that's fine. So Jonah, we were talking a little bit about, I'm not sure if you were listening to the rest of the show, but
I
we're
wasn't,
talking.
No, I'm sorry.
You're good. Don't worry. I'm not offended at all.
Yeah, I'm a little
offended. Yeah, we can talk about it later. But Jonah, the show is, you know, we always like to talk about graphic design and font. So I'm curious. I know you have an illustrative style. I can never say that word. Illustrative style. Do you ever tattoo text or fonts or, you know, kind of make up your own? And what's your experience been with that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I make up my own fonts occasionally. I would say I do a good amount of just, like, tattooing, like, regular fonts on people, like, fonts that already exist. Yeah, I like doing it. Tattooing's, like, a fun kind of mix of art and, like, customer service, like, service industry. So
yeah,
I like
we were
doing my own stuff,
that.
But I also like doing, you know, what people bring me.
Yeah, it's a mix of design and artistry, which I think is really cool. Exactly. Or trades, you know.
Yep. Definitely.
And do you have like a background, you know, would you say you have a more traditional or untraditional background? Like, did you do an apprenticeship or?
I did an apprenticeship of sorts. I had sort of an untraditional apprenticeship. But I'd say in like the scope of people who I know tattooing, I'd say I had a bit more of a traditional background because I did have an apprenticeship, even though it was kind of like a peculiar one.
Jonah's a rare breed in our community, having done an apprenticeship.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's a hybrid.
Yeah,
he's an apprentice, but he doesn't talk about it.
Yeah, so I had a bit of one.
Okay, and then tell us a little bit more about, you know, and maybe you both can answer this, but like when you're tattooing, I guess, Ben, you kind of talked about this, but when you are tattooing lettering, how do you think about, do you think about legibility? Do you think about the words? Or is it more about creating this, you know, beautiful mark, this aesthetic? Or is it kind of a mix of both?
Yeah, you want to get that, Ben?
Sure. I think for me, it's very much the second one.
Yeah, it's more, because you were saying it's more like a texture.
Yeah, I think my text, I enjoy the fact that there is meaning embedded in it, mm-hmm. but I like the idea that it's kind of like a little inside joke or secret between the client, myself, and whoever they choose to share what it actually says with.
I like that.
Yeah.
It reminds me of, you know, we've talked past shows about, you know, like psychedelic poster art. And it's like, it's not really about...
Where you're like, what...
I don't know what it says. I don't know what bands are coming, but like, I gotta be there.
But it looks cool.
It looks so cool. Yeah, it's gonna be cool. So
for sure.
I think typography being illegible has this insider, you know, group that I think is very cool.
Yeah, it's not so much about what it says. It's about...
The vibe.
The aesthetic. It's about the... We're going off vibes.
We're going off vibes, man. Would you say the same, Jonah, in your style of tattooing lettering?
Yeah. I mean, I think I probably do a little bit less lettering than Ben does. But, I mean, tattooing's funny because you really have to... It's like a medium. You have to consider, like, how things will age. So it's, like, a little bit different than, like, you can't just pack a bunch of stuff in. So I don't know. I feel like I have to be more pragmatic when I'm doing, like, tattoo lettering versus, like, making like an illustration that has lettering in it or something.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about that? Cause I'm like so curious. Cause you know, as someone who loves fonts and typography and like knowing that on, when you put that stuff on the skin, it's going to bleed. Are you adjusting the spacing between the lettering to account for all of that? And how much is it something that it's like, this looks wrong now, but in 5 years it's going to look right?
No, I would say it never looks wrong now and then look right in 5 years.
It's usually the opposite.
It's the, okay.
Yeah.
Almost always looks worse.
That would be
it's
going to
melt together later. Don't worry.
Yeah. It looks terrible now, but it's going to look good.
That would be magical.
I mean, I do a lot of explaining to clients. It feels like the limitations of skin. It's not really obvious unless you're a tattooer or have a lot of tattoos.
Of course. And I think that's similar to graphic designers in general, where they're like, well, why can't I put this here and this here? And you're like, because it's going to look
terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they see it and they're like, why does this look so bad? Right. Like, I told you, it's going to look bad. I don't need to do it to imagine it.
I think with tattooing, that usually manifests as, you know, when people want to do something really, really tiny.
Yeah.
And you have to sort of explain, like, this is all just going to fill in and look like a blob.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
And do sometimes they're like, well, too bad. That's what I want.
Sometimes. It has happened before. And I'm like, okay.
Ugh.
Yeah.
So is there a space? Like, I know that also depends, you know, thinking about what you're tattooing. It also depends on where you're putting it, because that is going to be affected by the curves of the body or the shape of the person or, you know, whatever else is going on. So is that a consideration? Are you moving pieces because you know, hey, they want the word blessed somewhere, but it actually is going to look better in this other space based on like the flow of the letters or the art?
Yeah. I think people often want things like straight. I feel like, especially with graphic design, you know, there's like a real emphasis on things being like level or like even or whatever. And it's like kind of impossible to do that on a body. There's like no like true even or level or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, to me, it's a lot of like talking people through how like you're just not going to get things like perfectly level. And if you do, if you want it perfectly level, it has to like go in really specific spots or whatever.
What are those spots? I'm just curious.
I mean, there's spots that are like flatter. I think that work better for like straight lines, for like a text that might be in a straight line, like a thigh or something, like a top of the thigh. And then there's spots that are like shoulders or like a back of the calf that's a lot more rounded that I think is a lot harder to like really feel a straight line in.
Yeah. I really try to avoid symmetry as much as possible.
Yeah, like I want this on one arm and this on the other.
Yeah.
Because
it, you know, it's tough telling somebody that their body is not as symmetrical as they think it is.
No, I mean, so rare to be symmetrical on all sides.
But I think people are even less symmetrical than
they think they are. Because, we're all very lopsided.
Yeah, like, you know, one shoulder is, you know, maybe a couple inches below where the other one sits.
And it's interesting because you have to notice those things immediately and clock, like, where is this design going to look the best?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. That's really cool. That kind of made me think of like another question for you both is like, how we talked a little bit about like the differences of skin and, you know, text or whatever. Do you find that you, you know, there's kind of knowing things are going to stretch over time, you know, are you completely reworking designs that people bring in or are you, and like, and kind of using that client designer client conversation to really convince them, or are you reworking what they bring in? I guess I'm asking the same thing twice. Are you giving them a completely new design, or are you trying to rework with what they said that they wanted, or like reading between the lines? That's the name of the show.
You want to take that?
Yeah. I mean, I do like, I, at this point in my like tattooing career, I just like won't tattoo things that I know are going to be like not feasible for a tattoo.
You're just like, I'm punching out on this one. Yeah.
You know, people bring me something crazy that like is a cool drawing, but like, it's going to be like an ugly tattoo. Then I try to just tell them that as honestly as possible. And if they're still like really insistent, then I just simplify it to make it, you know, like reasonable for a tattoo.
Or you're like, go buy your own tattoo gun. Do it yourself.
Yeah.
It's so easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, some things just don't work, you know?
I've certainly had instances of just recommending that somebody go to a walk-in shop that specializes in just tattooing.
Doing whatever you say.
Whatever people bring in.
Yeah.
You know? Because there are places that do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think artists like Jonah and I,
people are coming to you for a specific style
because
you have that style. You have that level of artistry that people like, you're known for that.
Generally speaking. Yeah.
Yeah. That's really cool. I love that. Have you ever spelled anything wrong?
I don't think I have. Not that I know about.
That's one of my favorite things to look up on the internet.
Bad tattoos. Yeah.
Yeah. I have not spelled something wrong, but I had a truly mortifying moment where I was tattooing a car on somebody, a car design, and it was really small, and they wanted to put at the end after we finished a little 96 on the hood of the car, like as like a hood ornament.
Oh no.
And I was like, it's so tiny, like I'm just gonna freehand it. And so I just went in with the machine without, you know, a stencil or having drawn it on first. And I just fully did the 6 backwards.
Oh, no.
I think I was
so... wait, did you draw a 69 instead of a 96?
No,
I thought it was a 69.
I thought you were going to go that way.
Yeah, that's what everybody thinks. I should just change the number when I tell the story.
So wait, instead you did like a 66?
I just did a 9 and then a backwards 6.
Which is an upside down 9? Maybe.
I guess.
Okay.
Isn't a 6 just an 6? Upside down 9?
Yeah. You almost did like a little, like a tadpole. Yeah, yeah.
It didn't look right, but...
How did you fix it? Or you're like, oh, that's the tattoo.
Well, the thing is, it was so small that... And I told them this before we did it, but I'm sure now it's completely illegible.
Oh, okay.
So it's
that
fine.
Worked out.
So it's
perfect. Yeah,
yeah.
In that world, you were right.
Right.
To just tattoo it wrong.
Yeah.
And let it bleed out.
Yeah.
So, how did you guys meet?
Me and Ben?
Yeah.
We met actually doing something that's become very common in tattooing. We met doing a trade.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
I believe I reached out to Jonah and yep. just on Instagram, I said, I really like your work. Like, I'd love to get a tattoo. He looked at my work. He was like, oh, I like your work too. Let's do a trade. And
you each tattooed each other.
Exactly.
Cool.
Yeah.
How long ago was
exactly.
this?
That was a while, probably like.
Like 6 years ago, maybe?
Oh, you're due maybe for another
five,
trade, I
five
think.
Yeah, maybe, yeah, 4 or 5 years ago, yeah.
4 or 5.
I think another, actually yeah. Have we done two trades or just the one?
No.
I think
no.
just the one. Yeah.
I think just one. Yeah. But I mean, I've seen you like a million times.
Yeah.
You know? Let's trade, please, please. So I'm curious for both of you, is there a tattoo style or, like, obviously you have your own aesthetics and your own, you know, artistic vision. Is there something that you really dislike in the world of tattooing that you would never tattoo or that you don't like it? You could be honest, you don't like it on other people, whatever. Something that you're just like, never, never do I want to see this.
I think for me,
yeah.
the thing that really grosses me out is like,
we could be real.
Just like full color realism.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just think.
Like on Ink Master.
Like exactly yeah. like yeah. what they do on Ink Master. I'm just like, that does not look good.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like from a technical art perspective, it's like, wow, that's incredible. But I just yeah. don't think it looks good on the body.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little weird to have something so realistic on
right.
your body.
Like, it's
like
a
perfect face. You're like, you already have a face
right.
on your body.
And that,
it's your
it
face.
It looks like you have a conjoined twin.
It's really strange. Yeah. 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 No, I would agree with that. I think I like when something feels more not photographic. Like it's more of an interpretation of a piece.
Yeah.
Totally. Something more graphic.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think, Jonah?
I think, I mean, I, at this point, just always turn down pet portrait.
Like, pet my dog so died tough. And I need this
yeah. well,
on my
I mean,
calf.
It's like sweet. I admire the intention, but it's so hard to capture the likeness of an animal.
Of
and people really
only to be worse would probably
like
be
cat,
like your
you know?
Baby. Like babies always turn out real bad.
Yeah, tattoos of babies usually don't look good. It's
no, that's
I mean,
hard.
I
drawing a baby is hard.
I haven't done one, but I feel like it's always like the shading in like the
it's
folds of the face, and
yeah.
then it looks
like
an
old
man.
Man. Yeah,
yeah.
It's, I mean,
yeah.
babies in general look like old men.
Yeah, but
it's
like
so
not in that way. It's like strange. Very subtle.
It's very strange.
Yeah.
yeah. Is there, so now I gotta bring it back to fonts.
Right.
Is there a lettering style that you love to do or hate to do? Actually, you already answered the one you love to do because you're doing it, but is there one that you hate to do that you would never do?
I don't know.
And I'll name some because I looked them up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Old English, that's kind of like, it's almost like calligraphy with like the heavy downstroke
yeah.
and then like the flourishes.
Yeah.
That's fun to do.
That one's
love
fun?
Doing
yeah.
that one.
Okay,
fun.
Okay. What about black letter? Kind
that's,
of like gothic and evil.
That's also fun. Honestly,
yeah,
I don't
too.
Know if there's a lettering style that's not fun to do. I feel
what
like.
What about American traditional? You said you weren't sure about that one when we
lettering.
Walked in.
Like as a lettering
as
style?
As a lettering style, yeah. That's the one where
that like.
It's
I
like
was,
that old Sailor Jerry kind of look
oh,
and feel.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
All the ones you
yeah,
hate,
all
Jackie?
Fun. I don't know.
Like,
all the ones I, yeah.
Right,
yeah,
whatever you
fun.
Don't like.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the American traditional style in general because it's exactly what you're talking about. It's like, how do you take, you know, a picture of a dog, but you stylize it in a way that feels like it's classic. And I like the colors. And it's
yeah.
probably the graphic designer in me. Like, I like a thick line.
For sure. And it's
you know?
Like, you know, it's a representation of this thing that's been optimized for tattooing.
Yes,
which
yeah. exactly.
Cool.
Which is very cool.
Yeah.
Definitely. Cool. Well, I think we're close to time. So I'm going to maybe let you go, Jonah. But
yeah,
can you
sure.
say could you say your Instagram handle for
yeah,
people?
Yeah, yeah. It's half backwards, and that's spelled the full way out, so H-A-L-F, and then backwards spelled out just all the way through.
Cool. Well, it's so nice to meet you. I'm really glad that
yeah.
you called in and could talk and chat with your old friend, Ben.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for talking. It was such a nice surprise to see Ben here, to hear Ben here.
Good talking to you, Jonah.
Thank you, Jonah.
I'll see you soon.
All right. Thanks, guys. We'll see you soon.
Cool. That was so nice that he called and was surprised by you being here.
I had no idea it was me.
Cool. Well, I think, do we have any other calls? I thought you said there were, no.
Not right now.
Well, we could take probably one more call if anyone has a burning question for Ben. It's 201-209-9368.
And they're quick.
And they have to be quick. You got to be quick. Don't go on and on. But we're talking to Ben Cohen. He's a tattoo artist. You can follow him on Instagram at 5starfuneral. He has a really specific style that is very cool. It's very unique. If you want to be the hippest person, you should definitely call him and, you know, get a really unique, beautiful, illustrated tattoo with very cool, like, lettering. And I really love the textured lettering. And
thank you.
Yeah, I think that's really great.
I appreciate that.
Do you have any questions for me?
About typography?
Yeah.
Well, I guess.
Well, now I just feel like I've learned so much about tattooing from you.
Yeah.
Because all I knew about tattooing was what I researched before the show and Ink Master.
Okay, well, here's a question. If you do get a tattoo, what font, if you were going to get a lettering tattoo, which assume you would.
Yeah, I would probably get a font. I think I would get that, like, old Sailor Jerry font. Mom, you know,
yeah,
something.
It's cool. It's
I
classic.
Really like that. And I've said Courier before, but I do like that typewriter font.
Courier is... It
is
does
it
make,
hard to tattoo?
Not necessarily.
Because it's kind of clunky and it's built for ink.
If it's too small, I think it would be hard to get it across as Courier. But it's I think Courier makes a nice tattoo.
Yeah, I think so. But if you think about the way that the font was built, it's built to hold ink and it's monospaced anyway. So you've got, like, a lot of space there built in on, like a really thin, you know, piece. But anyway, now we're getting too granular. So thank you all for listening to – this clock is super wrong. Thank you all for listening to another episode of Between the Lines. I want to thank my guest, again, Ben Cohen from 5-Star Funeral. I want to thank Jonah for calling in from – remind me, I didn't write down his Instagram.
Half Backwards.
From Half Backwards. Call them and get a tattoo and, you know, call me about typography.
Legal ID.
Oh, the legal ID. Whoops. WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM on online at WFMU.org. Thank you very much.
Good evening, Starseed. Welcome to the Music of Mind Control. I am your host, the Micah, here with you every Tuesday